my day has been interesting. And I'm not going to get too much into this, but I had the opportunity to interview a man. His name is Adam, and he was formerly a promoter of the idea that the earth is flat. He fell for it. And he got into it big time, was making videos on it, proving that the earth was flat. And all the time, he said, the Holy Ghost dealing with him, knowing something wasn't right, John. Something was getting him. And finally, there were some things that he found out, some things that God showed him that brought him out. I wasn't aware of this until he called me a while back, I want to say a couple months ago. And I didn't know who it was, but he apologized, saying that he used to be in Flat Earth, and he made some videos, and he mentioned my name, criticizing me. And I'm going, and he said, I need to apologize to you. I said, well, there's no offense here, because I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know what you said. But he said, no, God told me to call you and apologize. Every time I've talked to this man, he's got such a good Christian spirit about him. So he had mentioned me in a video, and I posted this the other day, and I asked him if he wanted to do an interview, and he said yes. He was very gracious about it. We did about an hour and 20-minute long interview, and he said some things that's going to make people very angry. It already has, because I posted a little clip of it this afternoon, and the comments are very Christian. Very unchristian. So he's comfortable with the interview. He said, go ahead and put it out. So I told him I would do it tomorrow. I'd wait 24 hours, and if there was anything he said that he didn't want, I would cut it out. But he's very comfortable with it. So tomorrow at Pastor Mike Online, I'm going to show this video. He asked specifically for the elders of our church to pray about this and ask God to bless and anoint that interview. I like that. Amen. So I told him, we're having our service tonight, we're going to pray for this, because he said it's exactly like a cult. And he said, especially you know it when you decide to leave, what they do to you when you leave. Okay? And so we're going to pray. His name is Adam Dowdy. We're going to pray for him. We're going to pray for the interview tonight. And tomorrow I'm going to pray that the file, I better back it up. Okay? I better back the file up. So just pray about it. And because already some people are just going nuts over it. And they're blasting me and they're blasting him. And they're using some pretty awkward language to do it. All right? Anyway, take your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 4. That's where we're going to start tonight. And it's good to see everybody here tonight. I appreciate you coming. I really do appreciate you folks online. What a blessing it is to know you're there and to know you're watching. And, I tell you what, I appreciate it. And I'll tell you, I've had some good blessings this week from some people that have stepped forward and said that God actually moved it. There's a story, I think I might tell it tonight, about a woman who stepped forward to donate for food for Kenya, and how God moved in this particular woman to do this. You know it's God. So anyway, it's just been a blessing to hear about that, and some people called. Y'all remember Spencer, young man, he comes visit every now and then. He asked us to pray for him tonight for direction for his life. So, Spencer, I know you're watching. We love you, and we're going to pray for you tonight, all right? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. We started on this last week about the idea of being sober, both physically and spiritually. Peter said, verse 3, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness." We've all probably been there. "Lusts." No doubt. "Excessive wine," many of you, "revelings," banquetings, these are all just parties, that party atmosphere, that party lifestyle, where everything's about a party. Weekends come. We got another. Somebody, so-and-so's having a party. Well, you know there's going to be drinking over there. You know there's going to be lust at these parties. You just know that these are not godly situations. That was in time past. Banquetings and abominable idolatries. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you, who shall give an account. These people are going to stand before God on everything that they said about you. Did you listen to that? Don't fret at what people say about you being a Christian. Don't let it bother you. Don't go after them. Leave them be. Amen? Sometimes they want to pick a fight. Bless them by not picking the fight with them. God is going to judge them for everything that they did and everything that they said. Who shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead. For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. But the end of all things is at hand, Peter said. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto... Okay, got that. Watch unto prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll continue our little talk on being drunk and being sober. Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the gathering together of your people. We ask for your blessings tonight on those that have joined with us tonight. We ask your blessings on your word. We ask your blessings, Father, on our fellowship, our love. Let it be sweet. Let it be kind. Let us be patient. Let us be good Christians, Father. The way Christ taught us to love even our enemies, to love those that don't love us. And Father, I sometimes struggle with that. I pray, God, that you would help me to love my enemies, to love those, Lord, that hate me, to love those, God, that are quick to judge me or judge this church. I pray, God, that you would just help me to be a better witness to them. Father, we pray, God, for those that have asked us to pray for them tonight. We pray for Spencer. We pray for Brother Roy and Sister Bonnie. We pray for Sister Linda. We pray for Sister Pam. We pray, Lord, for our widows here in this church. Pray, God, that you would bless them, give them comfort, give them grace, Lord, especially this time of year. And Father, we just pray, dear God, that you would bless this man, Lord, who now is a friend and a brother, and I'm glad to know him. I pray, God, that you'd bless Adam. And Father, I understand the journey and the life that he's been. I understand, Lord, the hole that you dug him out of. Because I've been in a similar hole, and I pray, God, that you would just bless him and use him for your kingdom and your glory's sake. Bless. He's asked us, Lord, to pray and ask for your blessing on his testimony. And Father, we agree, Lord, that you would bless, and we're asking you, Father, to anoint it and use it, Father, to help somebody that's been caught up in whatever lie the devil's telling. I pray, God, that you would bless his testimony and use it to bring some out. Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for the life that you've given us to live. You've brought each one of us out of a miry clay that we were in. Father, help us to never forget where we came from and what we used to be, Lord, so that we're not so quick to judge others who are in the same exact spot as we used to be. Father, we pray, God, that you'd bless them and pull them out. Father, teach us how to be sober, both in body and in spirit. And then, Father, you be glorified through that. Bless your word tonight, we pray in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said. I'm going to use this illustration last Wednesday. This is Rodney Howard Brown, the guy that goes around. They call him the Holy Ghost bartender. He says he goes around and God gives him an anointing that wherever he goes, people get drunk in the spirit. And I've actually heard some of these people like this change the Bible. Kenneth Hagin did this in a video that was taped at what used to be Life Christian Center out here on Highway 30. Now it's part of that faith church, that big mega church. But anyway, Kenneth Hagin was there and he was teaching everybody about being drunk in the spirit. And he said, the Bible said, be ye not drunk with wine, but be ye filled with the spirit. But he added in that, be ye filled, be ye drunk in the spirit. He added the words, be ye drunk in the spirit. That's not what the Bible says. You're not going to find anything in Scripture that tells us to be anything else but sober. We talked last Wednesday night about this. I'm not going to cover all this, but I do want you to take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, to me, it is clear as day how God wants His church, His people. He said that we, along with Him, are the light of the world. If people are going to see the truth of the gospel, they need to see it through the people that believe the gospel. Can I hear you say amen? We believe the gospel. We believe the gospel saves people. We believe that Jesus died to save worthless sinners. And every one of us fit in that category. Worthless sinners. So let's be that gospel to people. Let's be the, Paul said, you are the epistle written and known of men, written by God Himself in the fleshy tables of our heart. If somebody says that our actions sometimes speak louder than our words, there's nothing wrong with that statement, because Paul told us that we and our lives are the epistle of God to this world, and they should be able to see the living gospel inside of us. Somebody say amen. I believe that we're living in last days times. I don't believe we're there quite yet, but I think we'll know it when we get there. So Paul said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, because everybody can tell if a woman is pregnant. We can pretty much tell the difference between pregnant and very pregnant. Amen? Because it just looks like she's ready to go any day. And I think that when we get to these times and seasons that he's referring to, I think we'll know it. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. There's the illustration right there that he used. And they shall not escape. But ye brethren, this is why ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Now we know that it's okay to go to bed at night. Amen? So what is he referring to here? Therefore, let us not sleep. Spiritual sleep. Let's not shut our testimony down. Let's not shut the light from coming out of us whenever we are around people, be it family members, co-workers, other church members, people that you see at the store all the time, or whoever it is. Let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be what? Sober. Never does this Bible say to be drunk. Never does it say that. For they that sleep in the night, they be drunken or drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. And this you recognize from Ephesians chapter 6. He's saying it again. Put on that armor. Put it on. Because we're living in a time where the attack is coming. How many of you believe that? Listen, I'm telling you, when you watch this interview, this man is going to be attacked. As I'm doing the interview, I'm, you know, sort of concentrating on what I'm going to ask him, how I'm going to conduct the interview, and so on. When I went back and was going through it, doing some editing, as I'm listening to this from a listener's point of view, I stopped and I said, I'm going to pray for this man's safety, physically and spiritually. And to you, right, some of you right now, you may say, well, this flat earth thing, it's not a big deal. To those who have been affected by it, it is. May not be as a big effect on you as it is on others, because we all have ways that the devil tries to get to us. And everybody's got a little bit different way that the devil comes in and attack. And maybe your thing isn't, you know, the shape of the earth or whatever it is, but there's something else that the devil pounds you with, and you've been a part of it, and God pulled you out. Say amen to that. Okay? So it's time now to put on a breastplate. What is that breast? Where's your vital organs at? Why do cops go around now wearing body armor? They don't necessarily wear it on their arms or their legs. Why? No vital organs there. They wear it to protect the lungs, the heart, the liver, the kidneys, anything that can bleed out quickly and stop life. That's where they're being protected, and you need a breastplate of faith. But you also need one of love. Loving even those who attack you. And I want to tell you something. This man that I interviewed today, I was not expecting what I saw from him. What I saw from him was not bitterness. It was not hatred toward the people that lied to him. Tears filled his eyes as he began to talk about how he prays for the people that he left in that movement to get right with God and for God to pull them out the way he pulled him out. He had tears in his eyes saying it. It's one thing to say the truth. Any of us have a real knack for blurting out things that we think are true, and we don't care how it affects people. We just say it, and sometimes we hope to make people mad with it. We're supposed to say the truth and do it in love. Like Jesus, when he said he gave the rules for when somebody offends. We see somebody in a sin. We're not supposed to post it on Facebook that they did this. We're not supposed to gossip about them. We're supposed to go to them to restore them because we love them. Like somebody may have come to us to say something to us that we needed to hear to restore us. I've had that happen. And my life is all the better because somebody came to me in love and not hatred. Not anger, not bitterness. Somebody came to me in love. I'll never forget that as long as I live. So the breastplate of faith and love is our protection. And this is how God is going to protect us. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now turn to 1 Timothy, just a few pages over. You get past 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy chapter 2. I will therefore, verse 8, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. You know, I don't have a problem somebody sitting in church, and if they're worshiping God, raise them hands. I don't have a problem in the world with that. I see people sometimes do that, and I see some people frowning on it. Don't frown on that. That's what God said to do. Now, you might say, well, that's spiritual hands. Well, I'm showing you my spiritual hands by my real hands. Okay? I don't have a problem in the world lifting up. When these little children, when Liam or Roland sees me, or a little cheeseburger, I call him cheeseburger, Lawson. When he, I don't know why I call him cheeseburger, I just call him, but he comes into me, he does this. What does that mean? Pick me up. I can't turn that down. That is somebody who loves me. And wants my comfort. And when you love God, you'll lift up hands to him. Amen. Say, God, pick me up. Amen? Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Now look in verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. Now, I do not have a list in the Bible of everything that constitutes modest apparel. But we know it when we see it. And we know immodesty when we see immodesty. Can I get God's people to say amen? Male or female, we are to dress modestly, covering up certain body parts. Women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and, what's that word? Sobriety. Not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly rent. Now, I'm going to tell you this. If you read Ezekiel chapter 16, you see plainly that God adorned Jerusalem with precious things, beautiful things. I know that I can always win if I buy my wife pretty things to wear. I let her pick them out. Amen? I'm smart. I learned. I dwell with her according to knowledge. I know better than to try to pick it out. But most of the time I let her pick it out. I don't have a problem in the world, and neither does the Bible, for a husband to buy pretty things for his wife to wear. But we all know the difference between a woman who is wearing a little makeup, wearing a little jewelry, and she is adorning in a modest fashion versus the Jezebels that walk around with immodest clothing, full of costly adornment and array. Full of it. I can't define it, but I can tell you when I see it. How many of you believe that one? So, women, and you take this and you make application from other places in the Bible, here a little, there a little. God wants you adorned first on the inside. Modest with a quiet spirit on the inside. That's a crown. That's a beautiful, costly crown that God will put on you. God will adorn you with. He will adorn you with a beauty that the outside can, and you can never touch it with outside apparel. So he said, but with which becometh women professing godliness with good works. What kind of works have you done for the Lord? What kind of good works have you done? Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. I want to ask you, in fact, let me read verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And I want to ask you a question. How many female writers of the Bible are there? None. I did not pick that. I did not cause that to happen. The church, the Catholic Church, did not do that. The church itself did not do that. This was God's choosing. God is the one who said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, he gives the reason why. Verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with, here it is again, sobriety. And I absolutely believe that he's referring to both physical sobriety and spiritual sobriety. I can tell you that in the age of social media, there are women professing Christianity who are assuming a role that does not belong to them because they feel like they can correct everything from God's men that they see that's wrong. I've been affected by it. Pastor Cooley has been affected by it. He came here not too long ago, preached to us. He's been hit with it. Other men of God have been hit with this saying. Women who don't like what they say, they just blast them out in public. And that's not right. It's not right. Again, there is a place for everybody in the body of Christ and everybody in the kingdom of God. And ladies, God has a wonderful role for godly, spiritual women. A beautiful role. But it's not to stand and be an authority in God's house. Can I get an amen out of somebody? A woman who will usurp that authority, I promise you, spiritually, she's not sober. There is a drunken spirit that is associated with that. You don't believe me? Turn to Revelation 17. This woman is the opposite of spiritual sobriety. The opposite of it. I want you to think about I ought to do a video teaching on the opposites in the Bible. Once you start studying that, you'll see things. That everything that God does, there's an opposition to it from the devil or from Babylon. Here is God, the Father of light, the Father of love, the Father of Jesus Christ, the Father of us all. And here is Mystery Babylon, who's not the father, she's the mother, and she's not the mother of good things, she's the mother of other harlots. In Ezekiel 14, I would encourage you to go home and read that, because God gave Ezekiel a proverb, because he's talking about what happened to Jerusalem and how God blessed her and God built her up and God adorned her, and then she took the beauty that God gave to her and went out and harloted herself to everybody that went by. Now Jerusalem is full of false doctrine. To this day, the Jews are full of false doctrine. It's because she went out, harloted herself to everybody that went by. And God said this. Here's a proverb. As the mother is, so are the daughters. Now let's give a question. In real life, how true is that? Very true. Very true. I've seen good godly women who have raised good godly girls. I've seen Jezebel women who raised little Jezebels. Okay? Ladies, ask God to change you. Ask God to make you a better woman. Ask God to help you. Ask God to give you fulfillment. Ask God to give you peace. Ask God to give you comfort and satisfaction in what He's doing in your life. Because you women will either make other godly women or you'll make little harlots. One or the other. Okay? Revelation 17, verse 1. There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, come hither. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. Boy, what a name. What a name God is using for this woman. The great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And he explains later on what those waters are. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made what? Drunk with the wine of her fornication. Now, I believe the Bible's right in what it's saying. Ladies and men, avoid fornication. Because with it is a spirit, and that spirit will change your beliefs. Does the Holy Ghost lead us to believe certain things, inspire us, and guide us? So does she. She's the one that writes movie scripts. She's the one that writes TV show scripts. She's the one that writes 50 Shades of Grey. And I have not read the book. I've not seen the movie. I promise you I have not. Because I didn't even know what it was. until I heard a little bit about it. And I'm going, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? She's the one that writes stuff like that. And this world is eating it up. We are full of adultery and fornication. And her spirit is the one leading that. And I promise you, everywhere that is, there is a drunken spirit that does not allow you to understand the truth of what's in this Bible. She's made the inhabitants of the earth drunk. They believe false doctrine. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. Did you know there's icons all throughout earth's history of a goddess sitting on a beast? Everywhere you see this, in old idols, old carvings, old engravings or whatever it is, a woman riding a beast. She's been around for a long time, hadn't she? She goes by many names. In the Bible, she goes by the name of Ashtaroth. She goes by the name of Jezebel. She goes by the name of Delilah. She goes by the name of Herodias. She goes by the name of Diana, who the book of Acts said the whole world worships her. They just do it in different forms under different names. But practically every old civilization worshiped two primary deities, a solar god, a sun god, and a fertility goddess. And with that fertility goddess, they worshiped her. And I'm not even going to say how they did it. You just figure it out. They worshiped her by practicing ritualistic fornication. What a religion. But see, that religion, a lot of people in this world would like that religion. Am I right? They would love that. And actually, I believe that most of the people of this world are practitioners of that religion even without knowing it, simply because of the fornication lifestyle that they lead. Sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Well, we know who that is. That's the one in Revelation 13. The woman was arrayed in purple, scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. See, that's why God warned you ladies about wanting to be adorned with all this costly array. Because Paul was basically saying, you don't want to be associated with her. Isn't it something that these big female rock stars, however, whatever clothes they wear, all of a sudden now you got teenage girls wearing the same thing. They see that, they want that, and that's what they do. So you have Miley Cyrus, who is nothing but a big whore. But she started out as this child star on, what was it, Nickelodeon? Disney Channel? Now you guys know that. So these teenage girls watch her and then watch her go from this cute little innocent thing to this harlot. And that's what they turn out to be. Katy Perry, who started out singing in church, said in an interview, I guess I've sold myself to the devil now. So she releases a song saying, I kissed a girl and I liked it. And she's singing to guess who? Who's her audience? Little 12-year-old girls who now, because of this song, do you think that they're going to experiment with that? There was a young lady that I knew that at a young age already started dabbling in lesbianism. And her dad tried to get her out of that and away from that. And for a while, it worked, but then she got right back into it, only it was worse. And I don't know the whole story, but I know at 14 years old, she put a shotgun to her chest and killed herself. And I knew her. Listen, there's nothing right about unrighteousness. I don't care what form it's in. But anyway, that's how she's decked. Gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. So let me ask you a question. When guys get drunk, what are they looking for? When they're at a bar getting drunk, do they start looking for women? When women are at bars getting drunk, what's going on? There's always a guy looking for a girl to hook up with before closing time. Am I right on that? I mean, you have to tell me, because I've never been the bar scene. I'm just guessing from what I know from the Bible about how all this works. And by the way, you don't have to go to bars to be that way either. And upon her forehead was a name written, 13 words. It's interesting. Mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. All capital letters. God wants you to know this. He wants you to understand it. And He wants you to be able to recognize it wherever it is. Turn to Revelation chapter 18. Next chapter over. Revelation 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. It's fallen. And it's become the habitation of devils. Now, I've taught on this before, but do you believe that devils, and I mean real devils, have places on this earth that they dwell in? I believe in haunted houses for whatever reason. But I also know that there are habitations in this world that those devils feel very comfortable in dwelling in there. And it's just like having an infestation of bats in your belfry, or cockroaches, or bees, or any kind of varmint that houses up there. All they're going to do is destroy the very place that they're dwelling in. Am I right on that? So wherever her spirit is, wherever she is, these devils find a habitation, a place that they dwell in. And if they every foul spirit, every cage of every unclean and hateful bird, and he's not necessarily talking about, you know, physical birds, he's talking about devils. Flying serpents, evil spirits that find churches that they like to dwell in. Do you believe that one? Or people's houses, or bars, or taverns, or discos, or whatever. They have places where their habitations are. And if you're really in tune with God and how He works, sometimes you can tell it. My mother and a couple of her friends, they were vacationing in the Lake of the Ozarks, and Sunday came around, they decided that we need to go to church somewhere. So they found a church there. They didn't know anything about it. They went inside, and as they're in the building, all three of them are going, something ain't right. And they just tell by the atmosphere that there was something not right about that church. They were playing, even before the service started, they were playing secular rock and roll music. And as the service started, and they were hearing the music, and they were seeing the people, they looked at each other and they said, we need to get out of here. And they left. Now, they may not have totally understood everything that's going on, but the Holy Ghost of God being in them was telling them, this is not your place. Amen. Amen. And I truly believe that there were devil spirits that were laying pressure on them because they, listen, I want to tell you something. Devils don't like you because you have light coming out of you. Okay? I believe that. You have a light that is not seen with our eyes, but they can see it and they recognize. Just like when Jesus showed up. Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, what have we to do with thee? Jesus never had to introduce himself to devils. They automatically knew who he was. And when he was around, they were very agitated and uncomfortable. And I'll tell you, you will be in situations where all of a sudden the Holy Ghost is telling you you're not in a good place. Sometimes I don't experience it, but my wife does. And she's told me more than once, watch out for that guy. Watch out for that gal. Be careful. She was right, Wayne. She was right. Okay? God gave me logic and reasoning and on and off and black and white and yes and no and everything else. But God gave her an ability to feel things that I couldn't see. An intuition or whatever. But I've learned that God uses that. Ladies, you got it. We don't. Okay? So anyway, verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. She's all about the money. Amen? All about the money. All about money, 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 and merchandise. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. See it? There it is right there. God will tell you in situations, you need to come out from this. Listen. I'm going to air this interview tomorrow. And I promise you, you're going to see this in this guy's testimony. He said that most of the time he was in that flat earth stuff, there was the Holy Ghost very quietly, very patiently telling him, this is not right. This is not for, this place is not for you. These people are not on your side. You need to get out of this. You need to get out of this. And finally, God brought him out. I'm just telling you, there he knew that there was a very foul, evil spirit with a lot of these people. They pretend they're Christians. Don't fall for it. Jude said, certain men crept in unawares. I believe that. And I believe the internet is full of those creeps who've crept in. Amen? And God says, come out. I heard a voice from heaven, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you. She is going to hate your guts. I believe persecution is coming. Amen. I don't know when. I had trouble sleeping last night, and the times that I woke up, I had a heavy spirit. And for some reason, I was thinking about this world is going to turn against God's people. At some point, I don't know when, I don't know what's going to bring it about, but I believe it's going to happen. And I'm asking myself, Mike, are you ready to deal with this? I mean, Mike, you've got it pretty good, but are you ready to deal with the level of evil that's going to onslaught this world? We had better have our armor. Okay? Her sins have reached unto heaven. God has remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her a double according to her works in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. God's going to give her a double curse. You know how? Second death. Second death. That's, to me, that's the double curse. I said this about Pat Boone. He had a song that says everybody dies, and the lyrics were, born twice, you only die once. Born once, you'll die twice. He's right about that. The second death is coming to all of the people. And the second death, what is the second death? You know? Lake of fire. This is the second death. That judgment is going to come upon everybody who is under her drunken spirit. And I cannot begin to tell you how bad I want to avoid the lake of fire. I don't want anything to do with it.